The Beatitudes. This is a text I have avoided preaching about for 20 years. So this is a first. And I hope that my experience is mine alone and that you have not had a similar experience to mine. But this is why I have avoided this text. It's rather ironic that I have, because my name is Beata, right from the Latin, which is the source of the word Beatitudes. It means blessed. I didn't feel particularly blessed by this name, although my parents were probably shocked when they learned the meaning of my name. Beata Marie, Blessed Mary. My good Presbyterian parents, I'm sure, did not know that. However, there was weight given to that name because it was taken from a poem by Edna St. Vincent Millay that was an anti-Nazi propaganda. And there was a girl in the poem named Beata who, bless her heart, committed suicide with a pair of scissors rather than being raped by the Nazis who were rampaging through the town and, of course, killing all the men and boys. So, I've had this love-hate relationship with my name for years. And then there were the sermons about the Beatitudes. You must remember that I grew up in the mountains of eastern Kentucky, and though I was raised a Presbyterian, the Presbyterian theology of the mountains was a little different. And so when we were taught the Ten Commandments, it was quite literal that if you even thought any of those Ten Commandments that were forbidden, you had broken the tenth or whatever commandment it was. So if I looked at a friend's new dress and thought, boy, that's a beautiful dress, I had committed covetousness because I liked her dress. And unstated was the thought that I might like to have one like it. Or if I just went, I had taken the Lord's name in vain. And so I lived in fear of God, waiting for God to strike me down with a lightning bolt. I know I'm not alone because I saw some head shakes. The Beatitudes. Oh, these sermons went like this. Jesus went up onto the mountain, just like Moses did when he went to get the Ten Commandments. And Jesus said all of these Beatitudes, and these then are like a second set of commandments that we are supposed to seek to achieve. I couldn't manage to follow the first ten. Don't give me any more. So no matter how hard I worked, how good I was, I could never achieve that plateau of goodness that was held up to me. Oh, but don't worry. You'll be blessed in heaven. So if I just hold on long enough, everything will be okay in the great by and by in heaven. So you read the Beatitudes and you're going, eh. And you don't want to preach about them. Especially when all of the commentaries you're reading are saying exactly that. That the Beatitudes are prescriptive. They're what we're supposed to be doing. Well, thank goodness this week I read something that gave me a different point of view. And I praise God for that. It goes back to the words that are used. If it's the Latin form, it's beati, or I don't know how to say my Latin anymore. Or the Greek word, which also means blessed, but it also means that it is something that God is giving you. The Greek word is makarios, and it means that God is extending a benefit or a favor to
to someone.
It's not just blessed. What does that say? But you think about it, that God is extending something to us. It's not anything we can work to achieve. It is a state of being. We are blessed. And if we think about where the Beatitudes are in conjunction with what's been read so far out of Matthew, Jesus was born. He was baptized. He went into the wilderness for 40 days of temptation. He came out of the wilderness and called some fishermen to be disciples. And then he went out and started teaching about the kingdom of God, or as I prefer to call it, the kingdom, and healing people. And it's in that setting where Jesus has all of these followers climb a mountain, which in my opinion would not have been an easy task after being on the road walking behind Jesus and leaving all my possessions behind on the seashore. And as Jesus wanders and is teaching and is healing, a crowd gathers and begins to follow him, and they go, all of them go up this mountain. Now, it seems to me that is not a time for a heavy-duty sermon of saying, you better do this or else. This is a time when those poor disciples need encouragement. Or else they're going to be saying, what in the world have I gotten myself into? I think I'll go back home, thank you very much. I know fishing, I know my nets, I know my boats. Why should I follow this guy? So he gathers all of these people on the mountain, and he blesses them. He endows upon them the Spirit. I believe those disciples were given faith by God to begin with. Or why else would they have walked away from their boats and their nets and their father? I believe that the faith is a gift to begin with. And that these blessings upon all of these people on this mountainside were then God giving them the power, the love, the sense of being loved that would enable them to be all of these things. It's a kiss. It's a kiss for everybody there. And I believe that in our world, in which there is achievement and competition and reward for being the greatest and the best, that we have a hard time realizing and accepting something as simple as a blessing. I believe God is far more ready to give us a blessing than we are to receive it. Just think about how we condition our children, even. When I was young, we had little stars on the wall in the Sunday school room. Now children go to school, they get a certificate for this, a certificate for that. They get a little trophy for this, a little trophy for that. How many houses around here are crowded with all of this clutter of stuff, and the refrigerators are full of all of the stuff that our kids have been given to have recognition for doing something? So we are trained, we're conditioned from a very young age to think we have to do something in order to get something. We have to somehow earn it. And then we also live in a society where blame is nice and handy, Because if we don't get what we want, well, we can always blame somebody else. It's their fault that we didn't get it. I think I've heard that lately. So anyway, we must achieve in order to receive. No. God blesses us whether we deserve it, whether we've earned it, or not. These blessings are totally undeserved. And look at the crowd that's gathered there. These are the people that Jesus has been healing. These are the outcasts of the society there. People who have communicable diseases are not allowed around anybody else. Remember the lepers? The woman who's been bleeding uncontrollably? People possessed by demons? These are the people that are the untouchables of that society. And so they are the outcasts, and they are left to just do the best they can. They can't work. They have to take the handouts, whatever they can find in the garbage, whatever they can feel, find from other people's cast-offs. These are the people at the bottom rung of the ladder. And this is who Jesus is blessing. The very, very least. So when Micah says, walk humbly with thy God, it's a reminder that we are not above anybody else. We're not necessarily on the top rung because of all we have done for ourselves. But we can see ourselves right down there at the bottom of the heap and know that even if that is where we are, God blesses each of us just because we are. Think of it. Isn't it wonderful? We get something totally unasked for and undeserved. We are blessed because God just wants to bless us. Amen.